that on a plane, you know? If it was a plane, it did it say. It was a bus.
A guy rode a bus from Canada and still managed to get caught with snakes in his pants.
Oh, God.
Where do you put that on your resume? At the top?
And I have to say, having been on buses a few times, that was probably not the most interesting or weird thing that someone had in their pants on that bus.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
How would that conversation go with, you know, your spouse? Bunny, honey, this is how we're going to make the big time. I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to bring back the snakes. Yeah. And she goes, you go for it.
You can do it, Johnny.
Don't call me from jail.
I think of all the people that are making pizza, you're the one to bring this home, man. You're going to get us out of this rut, you know, for sure.
In the grand scheme of federal crimes, you know, snake smuggling, I don't know, man. It lacks some of the grandiosity.
I mean, when your friends and family surround you and going, oh, we're so proud.
But it says there's an international treaty. So did what? Everybody at the UN get together and talk about snakes?
No more snakes in your pants.
Hey,
correct.
They're like, hey, guys, we've got enough Burmese pythons.
It wasn't that the snake was in his pants. It was just that it was a Burmese python. He could have just hung it around his neck and it could, you know, he didn't have to shove it into his pants. He would have been, you know, hosed either way. So
you assume, like, if it was me and I got caught, I would be like,
oh, I have a lot of assumptions for you, Dave.
These snakes.
I think you trained this individual.
These snakes forced their way into my pants.
Here is PowerPoint slide number 14. Yes, I'm a hostage. Use this kind of duct tape.
These snakes have threatened me.
Make sure the head is down close to your ankles. You know, it's like,
wait, you talking about the snake?
Yeah, right. You know.
I just can't imagine being that comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, like, at least with a girl, she could have a skirt, like, she could sort of, like, hide a pouch. You guys don't have a lot of wiggle room, do you?
Maybe he was wearing really...
Depends on the guy.
Wearing really baggy...
Maybe he was wearing a skirt.
Maybe he was wearing parachute pants.
Oh.
Much like MC Hammer pants.
I just want to know how this guy got in this path, you know? What led up to it?
MC Hammer could have had, like, 12
snakes. Well, we'll be right back in just a brief minute. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, and keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes are hid on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. We are in the bucolic fields with some pythons now, and we are
like doing some more beer out here.
Yeah. We're doing a brewery takeover today, folks, of Lone Oak Farm Brewing Company in Olney, Maryland. This next beer that
how do you spell that?
That's boring as fucking all get out.
Wow. Okay. Next beer that we are going to talk about is the Lone Oak Lager. It's a light American lager. 4.2% ABV, light American lager brewed with Bloody Butcher corn, which is a local corn.
Mm, that sounds appetizing. It smells apple-y.
I want to say I've had whiskey made with that corn.
Yep, Jephthah Creed is made with Bloody Butcher. There's a Buffalo Trace beer, Buffalo Trace whiskey that's made with Bloody Butcher.
You know, this ain't bad. This ain't half bad.
It's a light lager. I mean, yeah. And they really almost nailed the macro style light lager. I mean, this kind of not... I'm not meaning this in a bad way, but it kind of reminds me of Bud Light. It's really, really, really light-bodied, really watery.
does taste again, like something.
Oh, though. This is natty. Mm-hmm.
It's got a little flavor.
What's the ABV on this one?
4.2.
It is super pale. It's like one of the palest yellow beers I've ever seen. Crystal clear. I mean, the style, they nailed it. But it's just this style is not one that appeals to, well, to me, because there's not a lot of a super crushable. I could put away a six pack of this.
Sure. No,
like a keg.
This just looks like my urine.
Ew. And for the uneducated that come to a brewery and don't know what to get, you know, having an option like this, but having a good option like this.
I don't think it's nice to call them uneducated.
I would order this. So if I was sitting outside and I was hot. I would say
somebody, you know, you take your Uncle Jim to a craft brewery when you're visiting family and he walks up to the bar and goes, I want a Bud Light. You know, you hand him one of these and he'd be happy.
And be like, Right.
So I can provide a little bit of background. If you see a product, either a whiskey or a beer in it, has this bloody butcher corn, it's not probably what you're thinking of, which is
covered in blood.
Yeah, it's So this variety of corn is indigenous in the United States. It is considered an heirloom varietal. And it goes through a variety of changes. So the corn does start out, it's white. It is harvested sometimes as even white corn, even though it's a bloody butcher variety. Then it actually moves into being yellow, just like, you know, yellow corn is. But then the last stage of it, it actually gets red and kind of, and it actually has a bit more of a thicker husk, than some other varieties of corn. And so it's usually harvested really late in the harvest because it has to go through, you know, kind of all these cycles. From a taste profile, Bloody Butcher actually has, I believe, lower sugar content than more varieties of corn. And so from a yield perspective, as it's used either in whiskey or in this case with beer, you actually have to use a lot more Bloody Butcher corn
to get the same yield.
To get the same yield or the same element, you know, of
whatever
dextrose,
it is.
To, you know, so that the yeast can work through it. So if you're going to make the same amount of alcohol with, say, GMO corn versus Bloody Butcher, you're going to use maybe like 30% more Bloody Butcher, you know, to make the same yield.
And that yeast really works for that corn. That's one reason this beer is so dry and light, is it just chewed up every bit of that corn sugar.
Yeah, and I think that that is a very common taste profile of Bloody Butcher as well. It's not as sweet, so it tends to dry out, and there's, well, some of the other products I've had with Bloody Butcher, there's a almost like a bitterness component to it that you don't find in some other varieties of corn. Yeah.
Okay.
It's very unique, very distinct.
Yeah. Cool. I think it's nice, though.
I like it. I mean, for what it is, it's well made, I think.
Absolutely.
I think this can only be served in 20-ounce cans or higher.
Sure.
Well, it always harkens back to the discussion that I have with people, you know, who are, quote-unquote, getting into beer, and they're like, oh, Budweiser's garbage. Like, well, no, Budweiser's not garbage, because it takes a lot to brew it.
It serves it, right. It serves a purpose.
Wash it over Beechwood Age and take all the flavor out of it.
And to make, but to make the same beer at all those facilities, different places, blah, blah, to nail a style. This is something I would hand to a drinker of that beer and be like, here's a real...
This is a beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
And I think for all the live events that they have at the brewery, this is like a perfect gateway.
It's well made. You know, this is definitely one of those things you can screw up very easily, and it could be way too sweet.
Sure.
How many of these have we had that have been way too sweet, or they're just washed out and watery? This is very well balanced. This is very well constructed. You know,
there's a lot of skill by the brewer.
Yeah. Easy to sell another tap in the restaurant. Like, I'll put this on your Bud Light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. The guys are going with four. Okay. We are going to rate the Light American Lager a four. I said the guys.
Was my thumb sticking out?
All right. Let's get to the one that I'm kind of jazzed about. And this would be the Maibock. Mm. I love me a good Maibock. 6.8% ABV, the official beer of Spring Tidings. It's a traditional strong lager brewed over the course of 3 months for a smooth, malty, and balanced German-style lager.
Interesting.
Mm. I love the color on this.
It's like a big old cup of caramel.
Oh, it's not that. It looks like that, maybe.
It looks like that, but it is not nearly as sweet as I expected.
No.
I'm just saying it's got a nice little caramel flavor. I'm not saying it's like so, too sweet.
No, it does. Yeah, you're right.
Somebody says Maybach to me, I'm expecting this super fresh experience. You know, I'm expecting something distinctive that says you need to drink all of this right now because you're not going to get this like next month or the month after that or anything else, you know. And I like the front end of this taste profile. You know, it just kind of gets lost at the end, you know, for me. And it has a nice creamy, you know, kind of mouthfeel to it. And like I said, I love the on-ramp. I don't like the way that it finishes out.
It loses you somewhere along the journey.
Yeah, it's almost like it needs more sugar or something on the back end. It's finishing out nearly like a lager, kind of drying or dry or drying is how I would describe it.
Yeah, it does have a drying finish.
Oh,
and it's a little more bitter than I would expect this out of someone like
that.
I'm enjoying it, but yeah, I think they're maybe turning everything up to 11 a little bit, but there is definitely a bitterness that helps dry that out too.
Yeah.
I'm just getting a huge amount of caramel and I'm trying to figure out like where it's coming from.
It's the burnt sugars.
I get caramel sweetness in the front end, which sure, I get that sometimes with my box, but the ending still has this caramel sweetness that's just not
working.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not.
Not just getting the sweetness as much. It's almost like a piece of dark bread or even dark bread crust, like a nice multi-grain bread. It's got that rich breadiness, maltiness to it.
But it kind of rides all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's bitter. And then you're like,
This is something I would pair with a really good spatzle or even a poutine, something that's very,
yeah.
You know, what I call very potato forward, something that has a lot of starch in it.
Okay.
Maybe bringing some more sugar around to kind of balance this out, but yeah, in the hails of Maybach, I don't think this would cut it for me.
Okay, so it's not traditional, and they're kind of zhuzhing a little bit with it, but that's fine.
I just can't decide if I like it or not. Like I keep drinking it, and it's like, oh, I like it, and then I'm like, I don't like it, but no, that's really nice.
I would probably, if I was at the brewery, maybe have a pint of this, enjoy it, but I probably wouldn't order another one.
Yep.
I'd move on to something else.
I know it's 6.8% at least.
I think it's kind of like the Pilsner.
It feels
like,
that.
And like Mike said, like if you had some food with it, you know, and you were like using it to wash down some food, I think it would be, you know, it'd be a lot better, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's pretty good.
Well, we're going to rate the Maybach a 3, and we do have time for at least one bonus beer.
Bonus beer.
We're going to go with the Flip Coast West Coast IPA. 6.8% classic West Coast IPA inspired by and brewed with their friends from Flipside Gastro. Super dank, piney bitterness with restaurant. The malty backbone, heavily hop with Eldorado and Citra. And they also put this on cask from time to time.
Nice. The doctor.
It's a gas station / bistro.
I like the gastro.
The gastro.
Oh, I thought that's where I booked my colonoscopy.
So a West Coast IPA.
They put you up on the rack?
Yep.
Gastro.
Yeah.
Turn me over.
Definitely the aroma is totally there. Man, that is a dank city.
All West Coast.
Holy cow. Wow.
And 11.
And it's old school bitterness.
I was
going to
say, this
is
the one like.
Pull the enamel off your teeth.
Where, okay, if you're going to have one that where the bitter rides out to the bitter end, this is where you would want to do it. And it does it.
This is green flash all the way.
Yeah, it really reminds me.
I know.
I'm telling you.
Some very old school West Coast IPAs.
Yeah, this will strip the paint off your
inner man. But I like this because
this is to style.
Yeah, this is.
Rocks the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Just interesting.
Golly.
Interesting is a subjective thing, comparison. You know, this is to style because it's in your face, because it's.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, totally.
All the rest of them were at 11, and we were like, well, is this Dortmunder really good? Is this, you know, but this one at 11 is acceptable. Why?
It's so true to style, and it's not like. And, you know, just kind of passing by and saying, I'm flirting around with the idea of making a West Coast IPA. No, dude, you made one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does have that caramelly sweetness you expect to kind of hold up that bitterness, and then it just pow punches you in the face and keeps
yeah.
going.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what they should have called this, not flip. They should have called it pow.
Well, and I think like too, there's a certain level of control you want to see. And like, you know,
we've had these that have been overcooked and
totally. But like, you know, around some of the ones where we were not as sure about it, it's like you want to, if you're going to call it something, then make it that, you know, but if you want to say it's, if you want to make something else, then you call it something else.
If I had to be critical of anything, it would be the SRA on this. You know, I think of, you know, good West Coast IPAs as actually being a bit more reddish.
Yeah.
And this is probably more of a yellow straw hue yeah. to it.
I think it yeah. comes down to if it's Thanks, the Drew, old school West Coast or if it's one of the newer school West
but,
Coast.
But, I mean, you know, appearance... As good as this tastes, yeah. I'm fine. You can make it white yeah. for all I care.
It looks good in my belly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done. So I think this is.
Yeah. No, this is.
Might be my favorite of the flight so far.
This is a 5, and this is a really good, good example. Yeah. And I think something I hope that we see a little bit more of is kind of leaning back to that West Coast style, at least.
I feel like I'm more trying people to doing do that. It.
So I'm taking away the answer to my question, basically, is that because it's at 11, because the style is to take things to 11, that's yeah. why it fits versus mm-hmm. the others.
And it's also because we said so.
Well, is there an arms race now? Like, do you just keep going more and more?
You know, if I had to pick the things that go wrong with, West Coast IPAs, one is they're way too bitter and not in balance. That is not what happened with the flip. It was good balance. The other thing is they get incredibly sticky sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you're kind of like, wow, this is just fighting with the hops all day long. And you're like, could you just knock it down, you know, yeah. like 30% and let the hops sing, man. I think the choice between the El Dorado and the Citra here, really good. I mean, I don't know how many iterations they went through the recipe, but man, they really nailed it.
Yeah, this is classic. Okay, we have time for one last beer, and we are going to just, guys, sip something to cleanse your palates. But we're going to go with the Sandbar. It's a tropical IPA, 7% ABV, dry hop with cashmere and sabro. And... I know this is completely different than what you tasted before, but I've had this one before and I was like, oh, this is nice.
It's a tiki drink.
Very,
a lot of
very
coconutness.
Yeah.
That sabro can really bring the coconut.
I know, right? And that like creaminess, but I appreciate and enjoy the brewers for what they did with this because they could have gone off the rails. You know what I mean?
I'm getting a full bloat of ambrosia salad.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It has the whole thing. It has the coconut, has the mascarino cherries on it.
The canned pineapple.
Oh, yeah. It's
straight out of the can. Oh, that's the only way to do it.
I mean, under reggae, man, for this one.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. It's time to go to the island.
Almost a little sweet, but it fits that tiki drink.
Right, right. Yep. Yeah, it does. But I thought this was a really good showcase for the brewery and just going from like all these extremes, if you will.
It's not overdone.
No.
I like it.
And it could very easily be that way.
It could be the same, you know, haze, lactose, you know.
Right.
This is
Dave, what do you think about it?
I think whatever Mike said was right. So he's always correct.
You've never said that before.
Wow. I know. This is.
Yeah, I'm going to play that back on a sound clip. From now
maybe
on.
I need to get you out of the bucolic fields. Yeah, huh?
I think.
What's the ABV?
This is 7% ABV.
We're rating it a 4. Is that right?
We are going to rate the Sandbar Tropical IPA a 4.
I had to get it on the books there.
No mosaic. Must be why it's good.
Kind of an up and down flight, you know, and here.
Hey, everybody, this is Drew's last episode. Yeah. So,
Kendall, what was your favorite, man?
I think the West Coast.
The West Coast? Yeah, I'm with Kendall. Yeah.
Agreed.
Well,
yeah.
How about that?
Bam.
Well, There's that. I think this was a great episode.
We went to Maryland Brewery to get a good West Coast IPA.
Go figure.
West Coast of the Chesapeake. Yeah.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's Suds episode. I'd like to thank all of my co-hosts for joining us today.
But you can't because they weren't that good.
But they were. Good old boy Kendall, thanks for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Woohoo! Good old boy Mike, thanks for being here.
Hey, come back. Enjoy another exciting episode of Standing in the Bucolic Field of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy Drew, thanks for being here.
Why did we let him out of the cage this time?
Under duress.
Or no. Dave.
Good old boy Dave.
Keep tuning in to new episodes of Sip, Suds, and Smokes to see if Dave and Mike ever agree again.
It's about the snakes, man.
Yeah, it's about the snakes. This is Good Old Gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling. Thanks for joining us again, and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.
Broadcasting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
What is